But reusing glass bottles is even better. So remember, using it once is not enough. Choose to reuse.
And you can reuse us anytime. We're WUSB Stony Brook. It's a minute after 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Yeah, I don't know if it's the case with everybody. It certainly is the case here at the station, but when this theme comes on, we just kind of like march around like we're in the military because we just get so impassioned, and by the time the drums come around, we're exhausted. You can sit down, Kyle.
I can't. Yeah, I don't even notice it anymore. It just comes to me. And,
it's natural.
Yeah, I get basically in this like trance state, uh-huh. This sort of... I don't know. It's surreal, but yeah. And then the arms and the coordinated movement.
Some people,
I don't know.
Some people go for a second round now.
Yeah.
And we usually sitting down about now because.
Yeah, because again, it's like it's background. We're used to it, and
it's tiring.
And we're ready for it every week. Gosh, I'm ready. It feels so good to sit down with you and with all of you listening. We've been busy people.
Yes, we have been very busy.
And so much is going on. Actually, I had I had a little bout with, I believe, the rhinovirus. I was talking about this last week, too. I was talking about getting sick. I was talking about the virus and the virus spreading. I think I just had a runny nose. So it's not the virus, but it's a virus.
You used the word for that yesterday that threw me for a loop. It's much better. Folks, pay attention to this. Seriously, if you're marching now, just stop for a second and pay attention. This is a great word. It's a substitute word. Instead of saying in the future you have a runny nose, you are going to say that you have...
rhinitis.
Isn't that something? Rhinitis.
Yeah, and it comes from rhinoceros, obviously, somehow.
So does rhinoplasty.
And they have great, great schnoz. I mean, that's a species that can really... And in fact, they're sought after. That's dark. Anyway, the...
sought after by idiots.
Yeah, that's poaching. So, the excitement is mutual. I'm so glad to be a little better now. I'm not as snotty, let's put it that way. Well, literally not as snotty, let's say...
Is there a better word for that?
No. Is that... That's not... No, I can say that. That's a FCC... That's an okay FCC word.
It falls below our standards.
Snotty?
Yeah.
Yeah, WUSB doesn't use the term snotty.
No, especially not four times in, like, the course of a minute.
Okay. So, are you excited? Are you excited tonight? I mean, it's a holiday.
Have you ever seen me so excited?
Yeah, you look thrilled. You're ready? Are you ready? You got plans?
Wait, what
for
holiday?
Tomorrow?
Oh, Valentine's. Good Lord.
No, yeah. And so that's really adorable sweet of you to think that that's the holiday I'm talking about. I'm talking about Lunar New Year. Yes, another New Year's.
Oh,
Heck yeah. And do you know what it is?
I went through three Christmases this year already.
That's right.
And now there's going to be another New Year's?
Double, triple. We're doing all the holidays this year. Hey, it's the year of the dog. Yeah, no more year of the rooster.
Every year is the year of the dog. Isn't it? It's a dog's life. Okay, fine.
So dog eat dog world.
Officially the year of the dog.
Yeah, we're going into the year of the dog. We had the rooster last year, I believe.
Are you supposed to do something when it's a particular animal's year? Because I haven't been observing any of the rules.
Well, it's funny. I saw a calendar. You and I both noted we saw a New Year's calendar, and it had dogs on it.
Every Chinese restaurant has the same calendar. That's
right. We should have one.
Yeah, I want to have one of those for myself. I don't want to steal one. But
what a thrill. Yeah. No, it's true. You don't necessarily have to do anything with the animal itself, but there are traditions. You can give someone these red envelopes. This is a big thing during this time of year. And me being kind of a geek with money, the uncirculated ones and all the $2 bills, I love collecting. That's actually really big in our polarized, honky way of looking at things. We call it Chinese New Year. No, I mean, it is actually Chinese New Year. But it's also Lunar New Year. I said Lunar New Year, but our polarized honky world would say Chinese New Year. So the Chinese New Year is celebrated with these little red envelopes. And I'm aware of that because I ask for currency at banks sometimes. And I know that they stock them this time of year because it's given as a gift. And now there's numerology involved with how much money you give in the little red envelopes. You can give four, six, and eight. Four is the most unlucky because it's synonymous. The word in Chinese is synonymous with death.
Wait, four is my lucky number.
Yeah,
really?
You don't give $4 on Lunar Chinese New Year. No. But six is good because the synonym is smooth. So six is a good number if you want to give a small amount of money in the red envelopes. I think they're called lei sai. I can't remember what the Chinese is, but there's a name for this gift giving. And it's usually to wish someone health and prosperity and good fortune in the new year. Eight is the most lucky, and that's all I know about that.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's more than I ever heard before, so that's... Wow, I'm blown away.
I'm pumped. It's
well. So when is Chinese New Year? When is that? Is that tomorrow?
Lunar New Year is tomorrow.
And why is it Lunar New Year? Why is it called Lunar? How did the Chinese get the moon?
They use the lunar calendar, and it has a different amount of days in the year. And it varies, so it can range across these months here, January to February. So our New Year is always on January 1st, but the Lunar New Year, it has a little bit of a variation to it. And, yeah, just like the Orthodox calendar is a little different, religious calendars, the Chinese obviously have a tradition and religion and myriad of factors that have led them to choose this calendar. So I don't know why. They like it better than the sun.
Okay.
It's an alternative, you know. The sun gets a lot of, you know, people telling time with it all the, you know, it really gets a lot of the spotlight.
Is our New Year the solar New Year? No, that's not what it's called, is it? We don't get the sun.
No. I don't understand why we don't celebrate. I guess it's assumed that the sun has something to do with our way of telling time. No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Look, it's just it's better. They like it. The moon is important, and we're gonna celebrate it.
So nothing for Valentine's Day then.
I don't know.
Okay, no. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't on the horizon. It wasn't something important. Okay, so
no, love stinks.
All New Year's. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
No problem there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
It's for suckers, but not Lunar New Year.
Olympics. You've been enjoying the Olympics?
A little.
Yeah. They've been, first of all,
I watched snowboarding last night.
We're lucky enough to have CBC.
Yeah,
from Canada on the Canadian dish.
Way ahead of all you.
And I got to say, they blow NBC away.
Way better.
Just for some reason, I don't know why, every single time they do this, they don't show things live. They show things, for instance, the opening ceremonies. In this country, we had to wait until the next night to see them, whereas in Canada, you could watch it live at 5 in the morning. And why not do that as well, give people the option? And it's over-the-air TV, too. It's not just, some obscure cable channel.
How about the Amerocentric bent?
Every time I turn on NBC, it's flag-waving this and that, all about the Americans. Nobody else seems to exist.
You were pointing this out to me the other night, and, like, not 3, 5, 8 seconds later, whatever, almost immediately we heard the chant, the ubiquitous USA.
Oh my God, I cannot stand that. I cannot stand that chant.
Rah, rah, okay?
It's imagine how the rest of the world feels hearing that. I mean, yeah, support your country. I'm all for that. I was going to support our team in the World Cup, except we didn't qualify and Iceland's going instead. All right, so there's that. But you know, you can have pride without being a jerk about it and having these, these militaristic chants that kind of, they're intimidating. They really are. I don't know any other country that does that. I mean, if other countries did that, we'd be intimidated, I think.
It's becoming a really, really aggressive chant. It's got a lot of military undertones, I think. And it's really an abbreviation, which is silly. But, you know, imagine, like, Ukraine was saying, UA. Or United Kingdom was like, UK! UK!
They never do that. It sounds stupid.
Or if we were like, US, I don't know. It's the three-letter abbreviation. It's the only reason it works. Canada wouldn't do it. I mean, Canada. They at least have three syllables. I don't know. It's crazy, and it's stupid, and yet it's what we do.
When did that get started? That got started by somebody who was stupid. I know that much. That kind of a chant is not something that you ponder over, coffee or something.
It's like a guttural meathead thing.
A meathead. Yeah, you got it. That's pretty much what it is.
Pretty much. Some guys at a gym somewhere decided, or maybe some girls.
Really? I thought it was more like a chess player type thing.
You're right.
You think it was an athletic? Yeah, probably a gym type of a thing.
Gender nonconforming chess players that decided it in a verbose discussion. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
Although, I do have to say, there are chants of USB that happen on campus occasionally. There's spontaneous demonstrations of people that just chant our call letters.
W297BM!
No, that one hasn't caught on yet.
W297BM!
Yeah, and you wouldn't include a W in that either.
297BM.
Yeah, you go out in the street and try to get that going.
297BM.
It doesn't really, no. But nah. USB, yeah, people occasionally get into the spirit of that. But, the USA thing. Okay, so anyway, the Olympics themselves are fascinating, I think, just watching. When we watch a Canadian, there is some Canada-centric coverage as well. But it's a smaller country. There's a lot less athletes there. and they're not as in your face about it, so you don't even notice when it's happening. And they spend a lot of time covering athletes from the other parts of the world, which we're missing out on in this country. So that's unfortunate.
There's a lot of other things, too. Graphics, the whole graphics package, the way they cover it, the commentating.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very different. And there are a lot of different ways. Whatever way you're watching, I'm sure it's fine. It's good to enjoy this stuff. But it's also very interesting to compare the coverage.
It is, yeah. But this Olympics in particular has been really amazing. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. The inclusion of North Korea has changed everything. Now, there are some sore heads that are angry that North Korea is, quote-unquote, stealing the limelight.
I believe it's a charm offensive.
You could call it that.
It's offensive charm.
As far as them suddenly having a place on the women's hockey team of South Korea, yeah, okay, maybe that contributed to their 8-0 defeat to the Swiss. That's possible. They might have just been defeated anyway. This is much more important. The victory here is so much bigger than a hockey game because it's eclipsing diplomacy. It's eclipsing everything that the rest of the world has been trying to do for the past few decades. And all of a sudden, you have the two Koreas talking to each other on friendly terms by themselves. And boy, that little baby Mike Pence, well, he was so upset. Did you see him at the opening ceremonies? Wouldn't even acknowledge her existence. Wouldn't even say hello. Just basically acting like a spoiled brat and trying to get South Korea to promise not to talk to North Korea after the Olympics and to keep the hostility going. It made us look so bad. And I was really happy to see the two sides talking. Now, yeah, maybe it's a trick. Probably is a trick. Probably is, you know, there's going to be a condition of some sort or something unfair. But for now, it is something positive. And that feeling of positivity, you know, it's kind of like what I said when Obama got elected. Yeah, we're going to be complaining in a year about something. But for now, can't we just be happy that something progressive or seemingly progressive has happened so we can at least fuel ourselves with that feeling for a while? Korea needs this. Both Koreas need this. And this changes the tone completely. For instance, there's this, you see this massive picture that North Korea sent to South Korea. It's Kim Jong-un in the middle and surrounded by all these red-shirted people. I don't know if they're athletes or basically they sent this picture thanking the South for their hospitality. They were very cordial to each other. It was just cool to see for a change.
I agree. I think that you have to slow down and appreciate the moment that you're in. Not necessarily in a foolhardy way. I get that, you know, there are a lot of agendas and a lot of reasons that we want to keep tensions high, not see any kind of diffusion of this situation, whether, you know, conscious or subconscious. But by recognizing the moment, you realize your impact in the moment. And I think with Pence's little staged events with victims, Wormbauer's
dad. Oh, my God,
dad.
That was horrible.
It just looked awful. And by comparison of the sort of unification, the virtuous, the positive aspects of the games were kind of undermined by that because it felt like a 1950s military press briefing or something, which, and it was all this like throwback to that. And again, it just felt like a delay of what is really going on in Korea, which is this sort of very positive event of all people on this earth coming together. And by not appreciating that, you miss the opportunity to be in that moment, and those possibilities in that moment then get lost because you're on this old sort of rigid attitude, which it's great to, you know, be realistic, but by not participating in a forward thinking or an optimistic way, you're missing that present opportunity.
Yeah, just thinking a little bit differently, perhaps. I mean, you know, being realistic, it's open to interpretation. What is reality? What is truth? What is propaganda? Now, you know, here's the thing. Here's what's ironic about all this. When the Korean delegation or the Korean athletes, South and North, came into the stadium, everybody stood up and cheered. Not Mike Pence. He took a knee. He sat down. He wouldn't stand up. Can you believe that? That is the reality. That is his reality. That somehow was the right thing to do. instead of joining in a moment where we can all at least respect each other and maybe take it from there. And, you know, everything that has been said about North Korea, one thing that you might have noticed they don't do, they don't threaten to nuke South Korea, do they? Because to do that would adversely affect them and would be a very stupid move. They threaten those people who threaten them. And if you don't believe me, threaten North Korea, they will send you a threat back. And their threat back will be a lot more elegantly phrased than anything you say to them. It's true. I think there's a bot that does that now. You want a North Korean insult, you enter your name and you get something sent back to you. The reason why they keep threatening the United States is because the United States keeps threatening them. That's really what it is. And the United States is much more of a threat to North Korea, obviously. How many nuclear missiles do you think are aimed at North Korea? What do you think? Give a guess. I have no idea.
Over 100.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure that's probably a conservative estimate.
And now, locally, like within 100 miles, or long distance? Because that's totally different.
I don't know.
Because from far away, there's probably an additional 100.
But that's the thing.
Versus,
you know,
what's in the neighborhood.
They're a tiny country, all right? And to have, let's say you're right, 100 missiles aimed directly at, these missiles are for you, North Korea, nobody else. You know, that might make you feel a little bit hostile towards the people that are aiming them at you. And you might say, you know what? We've got a missile, and we're going to aim it at you. And, okay, maybe they can aim a missile at the United States. Massive country, far away. You think that we wouldn't get to it before it actually got somewhere? Very unlikely. It's very likely we would get to it. So, you know, that threat really isn't much of a threat. It's more of a reaction to a threat. And keep in mind the history. The United States flattened North Korea during the Korean War. That is a fact. Every single city was, with the exception of Kaesong, which was the city that used to be in the south and is now in the north, was completely destroyed during that war.
That's something you should reiterate, because I don't think a lot of people know that.
The North Koreans look at the border with South Korea, and what do they see? They see Americans. They see American soldiers there. All right, you know, you look at North Korea, you see North Korean soldiers, nobody else. So, I mean, I'm not excusing anything that they do in their regime. There's all kinds of horrors that happen there, absolutely. But in the end, it's human beings. There are all kinds of really nice people there. You know, we saw Kim Yo, his sister, Kim Yo Jong. Is that the right name? Yes, Kim Yo Jong. She seemed, you know, very different than what you would expect.
Very poised.
Just like you said, charm offensive.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? There's probably all kinds of secrets and evil that go on in the background, as there are in many places. But you have to open yourself up just at least for a day for something different and see where it takes you. You know, the militarism is always going to be there. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, we'll find other excuses to make little mini nuclear weapons and, you know, pay all these defense contractors. But, you know, this is the current reason. And, you know, I understand the narrative they need to support. But it's really a missed opportunity for some real diplomacy and an actual discussion of what the humanity itself needs, which is like non-proliferation and like less aggression in the world, I think.
It's not a missed opportunity for South Korea, though. I think they took the opportunity. It's a missed opportunity for us, absolutely. But you know what? Maybe South Korea at this point wakes up and says, you know, we got this, U.S., just go tend to something else. We'll talk to them at this point. You know, they have a lot more in common than you might think. They speak the same language. They're the same people. So hopefully this starts a dialogue of mutual respect and leads to some actual change. That is what we're after all. You know, it's a positive development, I think, and something that if you look at all the coverage in this country, a lot of it was very very biased in a negative way to make it seem as if this was something that shouldn't happen. Why would you argue against people talking to each other? You know, as we say, you know, there's all kinds of evil that goes on in that regime. But how would you like it if every time the United States team was introduced, we start talking about cops, you know, killing young black men every single time? How would you like that? Would that bother you a little bit? You know, constantly basically reminding the world of the injustices that happen in this country? Oh, yes, on a different scale, sure. But, you know, at some point, you have to kind of put down the propaganda and let something else take over, at least for a little while. And in this case, the Olympics, athletes, people just basically celebrating together. I think, you know, it was time for that for a change. So
yeah, worthwhile and good to see. If you saw something or other coverage, maybe you're in a different country, please write us, otw@2600.com, because we would love to hear your impressions of that. Because, yeah, it's really kind of a historical thing, if you really think about it.
Yes. Now, speaking of propaganda, I wanted to look at this this news piece, because every news piece that you see has propaganda to one degree or another. And this comes from the Associated Press, or parts of it come from the Associated Press. It's about some military actions that took place in the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel will protect itself from any threat or any attempt to harm its sovereignty after its military downed an Iranian drone that infiltrated the region. So, okay, you know, that's a statement, you know. Iranian drone over your territory, you're going to defend yourself. Israel, and that's a valid statement, I would say. That's how this news story, quote-unquote news story, leads off. Israel is seeking for peace, but we will continue to defend ourselves against any attack against us and against any attempt by Iran to establish military bases in Syria or anywhere else, Netanyahu said. That's a quote from Netanyahu, giving him a lot of press here in this story. But let's look at that statement just a little bit. Israel is seeking for peace. That's nice. But then you say, we will continue to defend ourselves against any attack against us. Again, fair. And we will defend ourselves against any attempt by a third country to establish military bases in another third country, or maybe I should say second country. So we're going to defend ourselves against an attempt by Iran to establish military bases in Syria or anywhere else. So if Iran wants to establish a military base in Peru, you're going to stop that as well. And this is all part of Israel is seeking for peace. Israel is protecting itself. Do you see what's wrong with this story? In two paragraphs, it's kind of gone off the rails and is basically blindly following what Israel is saying when it makes no sense at all that they have to defend themselves against a country doing something in another country. It's not any of your business. I mean, yeah, sure, it's going to affect you one way or another, as do actions of every country everywhere, but it's not your country. So you have no say in who establishes a base where. The United Nations, they have a say, but you don't like them too much, do you? You don't follow their rules. So, yeah, this is the kind of reporting that we are faced with on a daily basis. And I think at times we just don't see that we're being fed a line of propaganda.
I don't like that. The first sentence, I think, is a very poor phrasing. Seeking for? What is that? That is a terrible phrase.
That might be a diplomatic way of saying it.
I don't know what language or how that was translated, but it's terrible. It reads terribly in English. But, it's the tangential kind of nation building and stuff that the U.S. Has found itself in, where we are the cops of the world. And it sounds like they want to do similar things. Not even economically, though. This is, you know, we think your religion is a threat to our religion, and even though it's not, and if you come anywhere near us or anywhere else we don't like you going, we're going to stop you.
Uh-huh.
That's the height of arrogance, I think.
It absolutely is.
To take ownership of so much in the world.
I mean, it's almost comical. The story goes on, and here's one more sentence from it. Israel's military launched a large-scale attack after shooting down the infiltrating drone and struck Iranian targets deep in Syria before one of its own jets was downed. Okay, so basically, you're all having a hissy fit that a drone was over your territory, so you launched an actual plane into another country to hunt down that third country, Iran, in that second country, Syria. And you're complaining about having to protect yourself. It seems like everybody is in everybody's airspace, but it only seems to matter when it's Israel's airspace, you know. Everyone can fly into Syria and bomb whatever they feel like. It's a free-for-all. Russia, United States, Israel, Iran, have at it. Everybody can do that. But, you know, one little drone strays into Israeli space, and it's a big headline everywhere because Israeli space is, you know, is something you don't mess with. Well, okay, that might be so militarily, but you don't see the hypocrisy here. You know, we're kind of not treating people the same. And certain lives, certain borders don't seem to matter as much. Maybe when we get to the point where we do treat them in a similar manner, you might actually get somewhere. But, you know, people don't react well when they're treated badly, when they're treated as inferiors, when they're treated like their concerns don't matter. And I think that's kind of the theme of the Mideast, you know, that certain people don't matter.
Yeah, and I think both sides have a lot of history and can draw upon the diaspora mm-hmm. of their choosing.
Yes.
To cite as a reason for X, Y, or Z action. And then, yeah, it's a, you have to come to a place of equity in the present and live there for a minute to actually to have a meeting of the minds. And in the name of justice and fairness, there has to be some kind of respect for sovereignty.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Netanyahu's going to prison, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, he's going away. Yeah.
Take notes, folks. This is how it's done, okay?
It's been happening a little bit.
There's, you know, there is a lot of good in Israel, and there, this system that is going to put him away, hopefully, is part of that good.
Bye-bye, BB.
Yeah, and hopefully the reactionary policies that he has brought and set people back immensely. There is hope there. There are cool people there, as there are everywhere. You have to listen to them. You have to give them a chance to speak and to be heard. But wow, what a struggle! I mean, you know, in this country, what we have to go through just to get anywhere, it's super frustrating. I mean, we're watching another scandal unfolding in the last week with wife beating. Yeah, wife beating in the White House. You know, people on the executive staff of the Trump administration having been accused of beating two wives, and this being known in the administration and being defended by our own president after pictures are released showing one of the unfortunate victims with a black eye. And you know, did you see Trump's reaction to this? Nothing but praise for the guy accused who's being forced to leave his job. How sad he is. He has to leave his job. His life is being ruined. Not one word of support for the victim here. And you're going to say alleged victim, but that sure looked like a real black eye to me. You know, what world are we living in when this kind of thing doesn't matter anymore? You know, where somebody is going to stand up for the oppressors time after time, is going to say things about the people in Charlottesville who are marching, you know, with the torches that, yeah, they're fine people, and that this guy is a victim who hit his wife. And it's just, at times you feel like there's no hope. You feel like this is insanity, and it doesn't matter what is said, what is done, because it's just going to be crazier next week.
Yeah, domestic violence, I think in relationships, hitting is a deal breaker. Whether you've been hit or you've hit someone, you're really, it's a very hard place to recover from. And, the dismissal of it is, it's disappointing. I mean, it's, I don't know. I've lived a life and, you know, you can empathize, but at the same time, like protecting people, not letting justice be served, not hearing their story, or having it been covered up, and especially with public officials. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's one thing in private situations and in life, but these are officials that are getting their backgrounds checked and are working on our behalf. And in an environment, an office environment, with women and, you know, a lot of different people interacting and, you know, you should know that you're safe in that kind of environment. Or of course, now we're hearing about all the relationships in this administration. Maybe there's dating and other things that are going on. If this is a known thing and it probably, and they felt it was disqualifying, the administration should have been right there, immediately. To fire, they like to do that very
much. Yeah, but they knew about it. They knew about it. This is so obvious now. Kelly knew about it.
Yeah,
Trump knew about it. They all knew about this, and that's why they continued to defend the guy afterwards.
Right.
And the kinds of people who defend wife beaters are wife beaters. You know, and people who think, hey, that's just part of the game. It's disgusting. We, you know,
yeah.
What is it going to take for us to basically you know, get our own tiki torches and march on this place and get rid of these bastards, because what they're doing is destroying this country. It's not just a political thing anymore. It's a moral thing. It has to do with justice. It has to do with basic human rights all being thrown under the bus. And, you know, we're not reacting strongly enough. What the Democrats have done is terrible. They haven't reacted at all. They basically caved in with the whole budget thing and said, yeah, you know what, we won't put the immigration issue in the way of the budget. We'll let the budget go through, but can we talk about immigration later? All right, yeah, you're going to talk about immigration. You know what's going to happen? They're going to vote against you, and then your talk will be over. And what will you have accomplished? You're afraid of holding the country hostage? The country damn well has to be held hostage, because these are horrible times where people's lives are being destroyed completely without any reason, and you're just letting it happen. So, you know, when the book is written, you guys are going to be as complicit as the Republicans on this if you don't stand up and do something.
Yeah, there's so many patterns. We're like, I think a lot of people have been saying recently, like, it's Groundhog Day, or, like, I feel like things have been repeating, or it's, oh, one scandal after the other, or this or that or the other thing. And it's this being lulled into a sense of this is a normal thing, and like, not being upset and having those visceral reactions to these stories and things not materialize into something at the street level. I have faith and hope, rather. I think that it'll definitely become something, and it may not become one or two explicit things. It might be a lot of different things. But there's so many patterns and things that have been repeating that make it just so obviously wrong that I think there's only so much that society is going to accept. There will be moments where people will be held to account. It's just not happened yet.
When is that going to happen? We have wife beaters in the White House. We've got Gestapo coming and breaking up families. We have a call now for tanks in the street from Trump for his little military parade. One by one, the values of our country are being torn apart, and we keep waiting for a reaction. You know, we need a catalyst of some sort. We need people to actually start reacting and saying no more, you know, keeping them from getting anything done until we reverse course and stop heading towards the rocks. You know, here's one thing that I saw that actually gave me quite a bit of hope. It actually was an article in Newsday that talks about the sanctuary movement here on Long Island. And it turns out, right here in the Three Village area, that's the Tawkit Presbyterian Church. They were established in 1660. They've become the first house of worship on Long Island to individually designate itself a sanctuary, saying it will open its doors to immigrants in jeopardy. Bravo. This is exactly what we need. The Setauket Presbyterian Church, you have my full support here, and I hope the support of thousands of other Long Islanders. Basically, what is happening is that, as I mentioned, families are being broken up. ICE is conducting raids everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in a state that is against this kind of thing. They will come. They will take somebody out of a home they've lived in for decades and start the process of kicking them out of the country. It doesn't matter if you have a family. Doesn't matter if you've lived here since you were the age of one or whatnot. They are unforgiving. And we've been lied to. We've been lied to so many times. Basically, they said they're only going to go after the people who are violent offenders. They're not. They're going after anybody. It doesn't matter anymore. And the thing that really gets me, I mentioned I read this article in Newsday. You know what that means. When you read an article in Newsday, you have a bunch of Neanderthals who also attempt to read it. But basically just jump onto the keyboard and start typing all kinds of idiotic things in response. This article, I made the mistake of reading the comments to this article, and it just makes you want to give up, because literally hundreds of people, almost unanimously, saying things like this church needs to be shut down, these people need to be thrown in prison, people who support them need to be thrown in jail. All these immigrants are evil people. They're all MS-13. They carry diseases. They're on welfare. One by one, just basically emboldening each other and turning into a real, almost literal lynch mob. And that is who we are becoming. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And now, finally, we have something tangible. We have a reaction. We have a place that is putting its foot down and saying, no, this is wrong, and we will stand against it. You know, it's religious leaders saying things like the church should be a place in which people feel welcome, people feel safe. And in fact, where the gospel is not only being preached, it's being lived. And that is it. Exactly. We say a lot of critical things about religion, but the good thing about religion is that spirit that of sharing, of openness, of compassion that we seem to have lost. And it's gotten so disgusting. I don't know. I don't recognize a lot of what is around us anymore. I don't recognize the people. I don't recognize the sentiments. We've turned into this cold, callous group of people that seem to think there's an enemy around every corner. That seem to think certain people are evil and want nothing but to take advantage of us. It's a bunch of lies. It is a bunch of lies. I would welcome 100,000 so-called illegal immigrants over a handful of these idiots, because they bring so much more to the table. They contribute so much more. They're not a threat in any way. They contribute. They build culture. They pay taxes. They do the jobs that you don't want to do, for one thing, and I don't think they should have to do that, but that is definitely something that a lot of these so-called problem immigrants are accomplishing.
Wait, you don't think they should have to do the jobs?
No, I don't think people should have to do menial labor just because they come from a certain place. They should do whatever anyone can do. They should be welcome with open
arms.
Look, they should be welcome with open arms. Unemployment is at its lowest level in years. You can't have it both ways, all right? If unemployment is that low, then there's plenty of jobs. Then people can work. Then we can start expanding and doing more things. This is a nation of opportunity.
But how many of those jobs are a living wage?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
I mean, a job is, for statistics, it's one thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, 100,000, that's a lot. That's like Germany territory, right?
Yeah, and you know, Germany is tiny compared to us, and they welcomed hundreds of thousands of refugees, and they did it without even thinking. Now, of course, there was a reaction to that, because every country has racist idiots that will react against anybody who's different. So, that happened, and Angela Merkel is paying the price for that. But what she did was honorable and right. And we have not harbored a single Syrian refugee, and we caused the Syrian refugee problem in the first place. We went to a Syrian place in Iceland, a Syrian restaurant in Iceland.
Yeah.
We don't have any Syrian restaurants around here.
Not enough.
Iceland! Think about that. They're welcoming Syrian refugees. And we are too bigoted to do even that. We cause all this upheaval in a part of the world, and we just leave it broken, and we don't help the people at all. So, I feel very strongly about this, and this is something that I think we should all be helpful towards. We should all be basically supporting this and standing up against the pigs that want to basically shut all this down and penalize anybody that goes against Trump. And what he is doing, what is happening now, it's super unhealthy, and it's changing who we are as a people.
Yeah, I agree. I think the unhealthiness, to me, I also think that definitely manifests itself in cities. I mean, growing up in the West, Seattle's a very segregated city. There's huge dichotomies in race and class there. And in the West in general, I mean, I think there are certainly people from all, from here, from everywhere, who take advantage of systems and all, a quote so-called broken immigration system is part of that. But I think what you need to do is really look at the instead of dismantling sanctuary cities, which is part of what they're trying to do. In the actual discussions that are going to be going on this evening, actually until midnight, the Democrats are holding it up. But they're trying to legislate away the rights of states, which is very un-Republican.
Exactly.
Over sanctuary cities. And what I would say is that the sanctuary cities should be encouraged. And really, we need to address the racial economic disparities in our communities. Because by keeping people in certain sections, keeping people separate, I don't want to get, you know, in a big multiculturalism rant, but you tend to foster more and more tribalism, keeping people in certain jobs and certain areas, and it fragments people, and you kind of take away the unity that altruism that should be there. I mean, we should have faith that people want to work and cooperate and contribute as much as they can, you know, just as much opportunity, regardless of their story. We all have stories, and it's great to see. Who would have thought? I mean, it's great to see churches of all places leading this, because you know, you can do this in your community. You can find people that are different from you. You can go away from your community. You can try to get a job that, you know, none of your family members have ever tried to get. You know, you need to have this kind of social I don't know, access to change your circumstance in all ways. And again, there's abuse of things, but you can't say, like, across the board that you know, everyone here who doesn't speak English as a first language is out to rob other Americans of their rights.
That's exactly what they're saying. And here's the thing, okay? If you look at Fox News, well, no, you don't have to look at Fox News. Just watch Trump. Watch what he says.
So stupid.
Every time that a crime is committed by an undocumented immigrant, that becomes an issue. As if that has anything to do. I mean, okay, undocumented immigrants are human beings. So they're going to do the same thing that other human beings do as well. Their undocumented status has nothing to do with the likelihood that they're going to commit a crime. Nothing at all. In fact, if you want to go that route, if you really want to look at the numbers, there are less crimes committed by undocumented immigrants than by citizens.
Because they're worried about their status.
I don't know why. Maybe they're just better people. Who knows? But the fact is, they don't commit as many crimes. That is a fact.
And the real point is that it's misplaced hatred, right? It's other extenuating circumstances.
What it is. It is racism, clear and simple. There is just no other word for it.
So you're mad your company left. You're mad a robot took over. You're mad about all kinds of things.
But here's the thing, okay? If you're going to label people based on their immigration status when they commit a crime. Let's keep going. All right, let's just keep going. I want to know when next time, like, somebody is accused of drunken driving or you know, has gotten into a bar fight or something like that and is arrested. Were they a Jew? I want to know. Are they Jewish? Tell me. I want to know if they're a Jew. What, you got a problem with that? I mean, what's the difference? Tell me what the difference is. Or if they're black, tell me if they're black or a Jew. I want to know. You know, let's have statistics on how many Jews are being pulled over for driving without a license and how many blacks are being pulled over for driving without a license. Let's do that, okay? Well, you think that's racist. You think that's a little insensitive.
How about
gun owners? For some reason, you know, when you say undocumented immigrant, that's okay. You can do that. That's not racist. Explain it to me. You know, there is no difference. It's got nothing to do with the issue at hand.
Well, they're not here legally.
Okay. Lots of things are not legal.
Right? Oh, you're saying Jews aren't here legally?
Well, no. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Oh, but you went there.
There are all kinds of things that are illegal that people do. Immigration status is one. I'm not saying it's not an issue. It is an issue. It's a tiny issue. It really is a tiny issue. It's not hurting our economy. In fact, it's helping our economy. It's not adding to the crime situation. In fact, they commit less crimes. You want to say everybody who's who's south of the border is from MS-13? Well, that's a very racist thing to say right there. It's also very not true. By the way, MS-13 was formed in Los Angeles, so there are more members of that gang that are American citizens than are non-American citizens. So you can take that logic and just take it to the bank and see how well you do there. So every single fact that you are thrown in these chat rooms or on Fox News or through the words of our own president are easily proven to be false. So where does that leave us? Leaves us with a country where families are being broken up by these federal agents, kicking in doors, dragging people away. Look, here's a case. This was, I believe, in Arizona. This is the guy who lived in the United States since he was 1 year old. All right. He has five American-born children. All right. He's lived here for 28 years. And basically, he's been given clemency. Like ICE was trying to kick him out of the country, but it turns out his kid has leukemia. He's been getting all kinds of attention in the media, and guess what? ICE decided they were suddenly going to be sympathetic. But actually, they just don't want the bad publicity. This shows what they will do. They will go after somebody who's been in the country since they were 1 year old and deport them to a country they've never even been to in their adult life and expect them to be okay and expect that to be accepted by the rest of us. It's not going to be. All right? There are people out there who will believe this is the right thing to do. They are wrong. And we have to continually say they are wrong. Otherwise, this becomes normal. And there is nothing normal about breaking into somebody's home and dragging parents away because they were brought here as kids and lived here all their lives and technically aren't citizens. You know what? If you've lived in this country more than half your life, I think you're a citizen. I think that's pretty damn close to being a citizen. I know, you know, back 100 years ago, people just basically came into this country whenever they felt like it, and they were granted citizenship. They waited online. They got, credentials stamped and something, and they were let in. You can't do that anymore. It's not that easy at all. People say, yeah, come legally. Yeah, why don't you try coming legally? I would like to challenge those people to go to another country, make like you're a citizen of that country, and try to get into this country and see what happens. It's not easy. In fact, it's damn near impossible.
It takes almost twice as long here. In some places, like we've talked to friends recently in Germany, it's less than half a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think it's over a dozen. Like maybe 14 or 16 years to actually go through that process.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. If you're in this country, you're contributing. You have a family. You have a home, you're paying taxes, you're a citizen. When did we change the way that we feel about people where we can just basically say, yeah, you know what, because you didn't fill out a form and you were 1 year old, we're going to kick you out and you can fend for yourself in another place that you've never been to, and we're going to be okay with that. That is disgusting. That is not the country I want, and we have to stand up against this crap. Because it's going to become worse, a lot worse. It's already become so much worse in just 1 year. Imagine how much worse it'll get in another 3 years if we let it go that long. So, yeah, support the Setauket Presbyterian Church. Support anybody that is helping these people. And start spreading some education about what is actually going on out there. These people are not the threat at all. They are the best thing happening to this country.
One of the things you mentioned, MS-13 and the border. A big conversation and discussion. I don't know. I don't have all the facts on hand, but the whole fentanyl opioid crisis thing, that's being blamed a lot on the border when, in fact, a lot of the drug companies are at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to forget that. It's convenient to have the other, the people from outside who are bringing all this stuff in. It's convenient as a talking point, but it's not really where that's coming from. It's been coming from these large drug companies and doctors and distributors, and we know this, but yet it's somehow palatable for us to blame other people. And anyway, I would just reiterate: support churches in your community. Call your senators. Call your representatives tonight. Now is when this stuff is being decided. And resist in every way, because this is conditioning. You know, when you have these militaristic, ICE comes around in your neighborhood and you're pointing out people in your neighborhood and in your buildings, and that's what we're going to start doing now, and not treating people, as though they have privacy and the same rights that we do, and creating sort of classes of people that have American rights. I mean, this is not exactly a good path to be going down, and it's going to make for a really hot summer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. One thing I heard over the last week, just to give you an idea how idiotic these people are, they were giving out free flu shots. Free flu shots, it's hard to say that, over the last week in Suffolk County. And there was concern.
The ICE agents were?
No. The health agencies. But there was concern and with the stupid people that read Newsday or write on Newsday that basically people who weren't citizens were going to try and take advantage of the free flu shots.
Okay, so that's ridiculous because if you don't immunize people...
Yeah, think about what you're saying here. So, okay, so you want to get immunized, but you want people that don't have the right papers to not get immunized so that they spread the flu around. I guess it ties into your dialogue that they carry diseases. I guess maybe that's what
they're...
Yeah,
tell me more about the chemtrails.
Yeah, but you know what's really scary about all this? These ICE agents, that's basically Trump's army right now. Because you've seen what he does with the Department of Justice, with the FBI, how he basically tears them down and says that they're politically motivated. You know, ICE is not under the Department of Justice. They're under Homeland Security.
The same people...
Think about that.
The same people we were discussing... that are introducing kiosks at the border. When we were on the other show, we talked about this. They're a wholly different arm and entity that the executive interacts with.
Yes.
Something to pay attention to.
Absolutely. Hey, again, as Kyle said, get involved, do something, because I can guarantee you that 90% of the emails we get and other feedback will be pro-Trump. It's true. Those are the only people we tend to hear from. It's because the rest of you have gone silent. The rest of you have either given up or think this is normal or think there's nothing you can do. And nothing is further from the truth. So speak up. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Get involved in every way possible. And don't let this become normal. We'll get through it. All right. That's going to do it for us this week on Off the Wall. We'll see you next week, hopefully. otw@2600.com. Have a good night.
Bye.
live in the city of immigrants. City of blackheads, city of white.